Lord God, we do pray that you be glorified this morning through our prayers, through our songs, and especially through the scripture reading and through these words, Lord. I pray that through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, these words will be transformed into your words, and the Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts to receive them, shape them in a way that allows us to hear that which you desire each of us to hear this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'll be reading from Psalm 138 this morning. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from afar away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as I would imagine most of you would know by now, the session has granted me the opportunity to take sabbatical leave this summer for a couple months. And so this will be my last Sunday in the pulpit, and I'm really excited about the folks that will be coming and sharing with you the word of the Lord over the next several weeks. I know you're going to be blessed by hearing them. I want to just first of all say that I'm incredibly grateful for Session that they've granted me this opportunity. And I also am grateful to you, the congregation, that you've received this and the opportunity that we'll have to have some rest and some renewal and some restoration in our lives. We look forward to that. Knowing that this was coming, I've already been doing quite a bit of reflection upon life in general, upon where I'm at in life, upon where we're at in regards to the life and ministry of First Presbyterian Church. I've spent a lot of time reflecting on the past 7 years and what has and at times has not happened in these 7 years as we've journeyed together. And I'll be honest that the majority of the time that I spend when I think about ministry, when I think about the church, when I think about where we're at, most of my time is spent considering what still needs to be done. Most of my time is spent wondering what might be next and how, as a pastor, I can lead us into whatever might be next. Most of my time is spent thinking about areas that still need to be developed, places where we're not quite there yet, whatever that might be. And I'll be honest in some ways confess to you that I rarely pause and give thanks for what God has done and what God is doing. And so I've been, over the past week especially, I've been making lists of things that we've been able to witness the Lord do, especially over the last 7 years of ministry here. And there is a tremendous amount for which we can be thankful, a tremendous amount for which I can be thankful of ways that God's worked in my own life in these past 7 years of living in Ashland and serving the church. And while we won't be able to hit on all of those, this morning's message is a little bit different in that I want to share some of these ways that I believe we have to be thankful. And in a lot of ways, celebrate in the spirit of Psalm 138, celebrate and give thanks to God for the work that God is doing here amongst us. Verse 1 of Psalm 38, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. The phrase, my whole heart, really struck me this week as the Lord led me to this passage and as I read through this psalm. And it led me really into a time of confession, because a lot of time my praise and my thanks to God might go something like this: Lord, I really thank you for this, but I'd also really like you to do this. I really thank you for the work you've done there, but it would be even better if this was added to that. And I'm not sure how frequently I allow myself to pause and give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, with everything that is within me, holding nothing back, having no resentment, and giving thanks to God with my whole heart in all circumstances. You see, it's really easy to give thanks to God when the things that you see out in front and the plans that you've laid come to fruition. And yet in my life, the give thanks to God, but I would really like you to do this, often applies in those situations where things aren't going quite according to my plan. When things aren't coming into fruition the way that I expected them to come. And yet the psalmist admonishes us to give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart, with all that we have. And so I'm seeking to do more of that in my life. And I'm sure many of you have seen a lot of the same little articles that I have speaking about gratitude and how much having daily gratitude in your life can really shape your perspective on life, can really shape your mental health, can really shape the way your eyes are opened to the world around. And so we seek to give gratitude, and to give gratitude with our whole hearts. It goes on to say, before the gods, I sing your praise. I sing praise like we often do here on Sunday mornings and perhaps throughout our week in different ways. And we're singing our praise to God, to Yahweh, the God of our faith, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But notice in verse 1 of this psalm, the psalmist says, before the gods, I sing your praise. You see, the psalmist is giving praise to the triune God and is doing so in the midst of the other gods, the gods of the world, the gods with a small g. And the way that we might say that today is that this is a countercultural way of praising God. That we're praising God in the midst of all the other areas and things in our life that would seek our praise. All of the other things or people in the world that would seek us in terms of our praise. And another way that this spoke to me is this is an invitation to remove the idols from my heart. An invitation for me to remove the things that have become idols in my heart, the things that I want to turn to in praise instead of the living God. Because all of us at times have a tendency to turn to the world to seek those things that we think may meet our needs, may fulfill those desires, may satisfy those longings. And let us be clear, when we are turning to those things, we are praising those gods of our lives, as opposed to praising the one true God. Now, how does this relate a little bit to giving thanks to God for the ways that God has been at work here? Well, if I'm honest with myself, I would have to admit and confess to you and to the Lord that one of the idols of my heart is this idea of successful ministry. What it looks like to be a good pastor. What it looks like to raise up a strong congregation. And so an idol of my heart is this concept of growth and success, which is oftentimes numbers focused. And you can't avoid it in ministry when you have conversations about ministry and about congregations. And if people find out you're a pastor, almost unequivocally, the very next question is, oh, how big is your church? Because attached to that question is a sense of whether or not you're a good pastor. Because if you're a good pastor, you're going to have a big church. You're going to have a large congregation. I love, sort of, the write-ups. I love in a sarcastic way, let me say that. The write-ups that you read when certain people come to town to speak. And if they're a pastor, always in that is, you know, they pastored and they grew this church to 3,000 people. That's an incredible thing. That's a reason to give thanks and praise to God. But understand that it's so easy then to attach good and faithful pastor to large congregation. And so that's been an idol of my heart. What can we do here to grow this church? What can we do here to make it look like this is a successful place, a successful ministry? And so this week I've been wrestling with that a little bit. And I've been giving thanks. Giving thanks to those that God has brought here. Giving thanks to those that God has allowed to remain here. Because even as I stand here this morning and look out over this congregation, there's a very large percentage of you who weren't walking through these doors when I first came here 7 years ago. And so I give thanks that God has led you here and brought you here and welcomed you into this community. As I stand here this morning, I also look out upon many of you who have been attending church almost twice as long as I've been alive here in these walls. And I equally give thanks to those of you who are here, who are lifelong members, who have been here for decades and generations and weathered the storms and built a legacy of faith and tradition upon which we stand today. And I give thanks that you've remained. Because over the last 7 years, there's been a lot of transition and change. And this community is different. And the culture of our congregation is different. And yet you are here, remaining, faithfully worshiping the Lord, faithfully remaining as a part of this community of faith. And I give thanks to you, for you. And I give thanks to God because, folks, look around, we're still here. And I'm not sure how many of you understood the conversations I was having with the committee that brought us, that brought our family here, but they were very honest in saying, we're not sure how many more years this congregation will keep its doors open. And we're 7 years into this, and we're here. And we can give thanks for that. And not only are we here, but there are reasons to celebrate and to give thanks for the future that God has for us. And I give thanks because while when you look at statistics, perhaps we've not grown, I know well that we have grown. We've grown in depth. We've grown in our spirituality. We've grown in our understanding of the faith and how to live that out in our lives. We are a more spiritually mature congregation than we were 7 years ago when I arrived. And I can say that confidently, and I can say that confidently because of what you have told me when we've talked about your faith and when we've talked about your journey and the ways that you've grown over these last 7 years. And I give thanks to God for that, that God is at work here among us. Verse 2, the psalmist says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For your steadfast love. A love that truly is greater than you or I or any of us could imagine. A love for which is hard for us to comprehend just how deep and wide that love really is. And yet it's my hope, and I believe this to be true, that many in this congregation have a renewed concept of God. That when you think about the triune God, you think about that God in a new and refreshing way. And especially in a way that relates to your understanding of just how much God loves you. And our capacity to receive that love. Even as broken people. And what I would say is, God, we thank you for that. And we want more. We want a greater understanding. We want a greater experience of the love that you have for us, which is so hard for us to receive. And yet we've made progress. I've had people say to me, I never understood God to be loving in the way that we've talked about. We say, thank you, Lord, and we want more of that. And to think about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to us in ways that we may see, and yet I know that God is faithful to us in ways that we may never recognize. As God sustains us and walks alongside us. But this week, as I thought about God's faithfulness here, I thought about God's faithfulness in the midst of transition. Transitions, for me, have always been some of the most difficult times of my life. And yet, those are also the times of life where God has made himself most clear to me. And so in the midst of transitions, it can be very difficult, and yet God has a way of stepping into those transitions and making himself known. And I started thinking about not only the transitions that you as a congregation have gone through over the last 20 years with pastoral leadership, but just the transitions that we've gone through over the last 7 years. We've had staffing transitions. It's been relatively stable in that regard, but there have been transitions among staff. We've completely transitioned the way our elders meet a session and what their priorities are for this congregation. Our elders are now a body of leaders that primarily are praying for the life and ministry of this congregation and helping discern how God's at work among us. Very different than the first session meeting that I came to 7 years ago. We have and continue to be in the process of transitioning our board of deacons and the way they operate and the ministry that they hold. And I especially give thanks to those folks because we've transitioned it like 5 times in 7 years. Like, all right, let's try this. Well, let's try this. Let's do it this way. And we're constantly at the drawing board trying to come up with the right way to structure our board of deacons to serve our congregation. And yet again, we're honing in on just this really one core responsibility as a deacon of this church to care for the congregation. And so that's what we seek to do. I believe they have a meeting today. And when they meet, they will meet and they will talk about ways that they can come alongside you and this congregation to provide care and support along the way. And we've transitioned our leadership with adding a board of trustees, a model that actually feels and seems archaic because that's the way things were many years ago, and for whatever reason, things transitioned away from that, but we've brought that back, and we've transitioned into that board of trustees being the body of leaders that oversee the stewardship of this congregation with our property, with our financial resources, and with our staff. And that's been a great transition with a great group of folks that have a heart for seeing the Lord work in this congregation. To understand that stewardship is about providing with us the necessary resources to do that which God's calling us to do in mission and ministry. I haven't even talked about the number of times we've transitioned our worship service and the time that we meet from 2 services to 1 and the style of worship. That we're always transitioning. I mean, these are no small things. And I admit that as pastor who's been here 7 years, I'm often like, what do you mean? Things haven't changed around here. I don't see any. What are we changing? But for you all who have been sitting here and experiencing these things, these are significant transitions. And yet God has remained faithful. Even when the ideas were bad and didn't work, God has remained faithful. The psalmist goes on, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything. And I love this reminder in the midst of this psalm. This is God's work. This is God's word. This is for God's glory. All of this is the Lord's. It's not mine. Frankly, it's not yours. We get to participate with what the Lord is doing here. And this has been an incredible lesson for me, especially over the last 3 or 4 months, where I have been suffering from some ministry burnout. And this is a part of the story that, as a congregation, most of you have not heard. Where over the last 4 months, suffering from anxiety and really struggling to bring myself to a place of health to continue to serve and minister to you in a healthy way. And one of the transitions that I've had to make in my life is to release these things and not take ownership. To confess to the Lord, I've tried to make this mine, and I've tried to make it about me. And the Lord said, you have freedom here. This is mine. This is my church. These are my people. This is my ministry. And you know why that's important? Because that means that it's only for God's glory that we do what we do. That God alone can take credit. That God alone deserves credit. I sat back here a couple months ago on a communion Sunday, and I watched you all receive communion like you will in a few moments, okay, and maybe not just a few moments, but I was wrestling with these things that morning, and the Lord very clearly said to me, Mike, these are mine. These are my people. I love them more deeply than you could ever imagine. Let me take care of them. And that was an important moment for me. But it speaks to a way that we can align our philosophy of ministry. And I do think that we're stepping more and more in this direction, where we align ourselves with the work of God. Like, that's our vision, that's our mission, that's our desire, that's what we want to do. It's God's work, God's word, for God's glory, and so our role is to align ourselves with whatever that is, to have an openness and a reliance upon the Holy Spirit, to see how God's at work, and then to jump on board and say, we want to participate with that. Because God's mission is our mission. And if you were to ask me this morning, what's our mission here as a congregation? That's the answer I'd give you. Whatever God's doing. That's our mission. That's where we align ourselves. And that's how we align ourselves. With the promise that God will always give us and equip us with everything we need to live into that mission. Verse 3. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. I praise God this morning for answered prayer. For ways over the last 7 years, we've been able to witness God answering our prayers. And certainly answered prayers on the lives of individuals. And I love when I get those prayer reports. Joe Lynn's always so good with coming back to me and saying, hey, God answered this one. We were praying for this. God answered that prayer. And we give thanks for that. That strengthens our faith. I praise God for answered prayer on behalf of the life and ministry of First Presbyterian Church. As we seek to become more Holy Spirit guided, as our session spends more time in prayer, discerning the Lord's will, I praise God for ways that those prayers have been answered. I'll give you just one small example of that. Sarah is here now for a year as part of our partnership with the CCO. She's been on staff with us. In that hiring process, at one point in time, we were pretty convinced that we were supposed to hire somebody else. And right before we made that call, we said, you know, let's step back and let's spend some time in prayer. And so each of the elders spent some time with the Lord. And when we came back together, the answer that we felt like we had in that prayer was no, not yet. This may not be the right person. And a month or so later, that person found the right job for them. And a month or so later, we found the right person for us. And Sarah was hired. Just a great example of ways that our leadership was able to step back and spend time in prayer. And by the way, that wasn't my idea. That was one of the other elders' ideas. My idea is always, come on, let's go. Let's get this done. Let's vote. Got things to do. Thankfully, you all are growing. But I especially want to speak to the prayers around our finances. For the last several years, every time the session has set a budget for our congregation, it's been one that has been what we call a faith budget. We're not sure where the money's going to come from. We're not sure how it's going to get here. But we believe this is the ministry we're being called into. And so we set it. And each year, God has provided. Each year, our year ends in the black. We can give thanks to God because we as a church have zero debt, a statement that many churches cannot make. We're not bound by debt in our ministry. We fully disclose our finances. Each of you, as members of this congregation, can look at all of our finances. You know what we have and where we have it. And that's open to you. And that's important. And I also praise God because even in the midst of the money we spend within our operating budget, which is about $30,000 a year to help maintain this property, by my quick estimation this morning, God has provided another $275,000 to $300,000 for us to put into this building and into this property just over the last 7 years. That's pretty amazing to think about. And these aren't just things that we're doing because we want to do them. These are things that, again, enable us to continue to step into the type of ministry that we sense God calling us into. These are foundations for the ministry to which God is calling us. And you as a congregation continue to hear God's call as you step up and you sacrificially and faithfully give. I praise God for strengthened souls when the answers to our prayers aren't the ones we're expecting. Because that too happens. What I might call a faith resiliency, I see developing and growing here amongst our congregation. That even when things aren't going the way we want, even when the prayers aren't answered in ways that we hope and expect, that we are forming a community of people who come alongside one another. And I praise God for the way that I witness you all doing that, because that is biblical. It's the way it's meant to be, that you all come alongside one another and care for one another and pray for one another and provide for one another and meet one another's needs as a community of faith. And I praise God that I've been able to witness that as you walk alongside one another at times when the journey is difficult. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of God. This verse reminds us of the global and universal scope and plan of God. It doesn't just say that the kings of Israel will praise God. It says all kings will praise God. All will hear God's word, what we now would say is the gospel message, the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. All will sing of God's ways. And so this morning, I praise God for our new partnership with Dolly. I praise God for our new friends from the Chinese church. I praise God for the opportunity that we have to now come alongside and partner with them, and that today we are now in a very tangible way involved in what is a global mission. And I praise God for that. Because we now are ministering in ways that will impact the globe for the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. The Lord prefers humility over pride. And so while it's hard this week, I've spent time trying to praise God for ways that I am humbled, perhaps ways that we are humbled. I was a bit naive stepping into pastoral ministry. I thought it would be much easier than it is. I thought that we still lived in a day where if you just get up there and preach good biblical sermons, people are going to come. Maybe I need to reevaluate the sermons I'm preaching. And yet, there have been times when in my naivety, things haven't just happened the way I expected them to happen. We haven't just magically grown in numbers, and we haven't just magically grown younger. Although my family has done our part in helping us grow younger, I don't think we're going to do any more. It's up to you all now. But here's the thing, when we're humbled, it causes us to call upon the Lord. When we're humbled, it's then that we step back and we call upon God. And this is where we need to be in the first place. This is where God desires us to be in our lives. Not out front, trying to do everything on our own with our own strength and our own wisdom, but on our knees in humility, praying, seeking the Lord's direction, asking for the Lord's guidance, relying upon the Lord's strength. Reminiscent of Psalm 23, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand and your right hand delivers me. And so this morning I praise God for deliverance. I praise God for the way God has rescued me and at times us. I praise God for using his power to defend. In ways that we know, and I would say this again, in many ways that we don't even recognize. I praise God for the movement that this congregation has taken towards healing, towards recognizing and understanding a need for emotional and spiritual healing in our lives, and for supporting efforts to move us in that direction. For being authentic enough for us to come together and realize, hey, I got stuff, you got stuff, we got stuff. Let's come together and invite God into that stuff and see if the Lord can help move us through it. And so I praise God for many of you who as individuals have sought specifically formational prayer counseling, but not just that. Sought counseling in your own lives, outside these walls. I praise God for those of you who have entered into small groups. And I praise God for the way that this congregation has been willing to step into partnership with Healing Care and Healing Care Mandate International. The seminars and the training that's happening now in this building, and the culture and the openness that we now have to recognize the importance of mental health among us and within our community. I thank God for the way that you've granted me permission, whether you knew it or not, to serve on the Mental Health Recovery Board, which has raised my awareness of how important these issues are in our community and in our congregation. And I praise God that we're beginning to understand a little bit better, at least, the issue of spiritual warfare and how we can stand firm in the midst of the attacks of the evil one. I praise God for our growth in this area, for raising our awareness to this reality, for helping us grow in the tools and ministry of the Holy Spirit to stand firm. And in the midst of that, I praise God because I know that many of us have a raised awareness, a deepened theology, and a renewed reliance upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. The way that the Spirit is at work in us and among us and through us. And now verse 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And I'd like for all of us to read the verse in that way. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Will he fulfill it for me? Yes. Will he fulfill it for you? Yes. Will the Lord fulfill his purpose for this congregation? Indeed. It may not always look the way we want it to look. It may not always feel the way we expect it to feel. But because of God's steadfast love, for you and for me and for us. God will fulfill God's purpose. And so we faithfully wade into the streams, an analogy we've been using on and off for the last several weeks. We wade into the streams with our CCO partnerships, with our healing care partnerships, with our own spiritual formation, with our care for one another, with our corporate worship together. We wade into the streams looking for new ways to think about small groups and how we can walk among one another. We wade into streams as we seek to reach out to our community, as we seek to participate with God's mission to spread the gospel to the world. And in the midst of this wading, we seek to be faithful in aligning ourselves to the way that God's at work, trusting that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you and for me and for us. Why? For the prayer that ends this psalm and the prayer that I would invite you to begin praying on our behalf. Lord, do not forsake the work of your hands. Lord, do not forsake the work of your hands. We may not recognize that as a prayer. I believe it's a quite powerful one. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Do not forsake, Lord, all that you've already accomplished here. Do not forsake, Lord, the generations that have come before us. Do not forsake, Lord, the foundations of ministry that have been built upon this place. Do not forsake the faithfulness of your people here. Do not forsake the hearts of those who gather with a desire to love you and others. Do not forsake the work of your hands, Lord, because we come together and we declare that this is God's work, that this is God's ministry, and it's for God's glory. And so, God, we give you praise because it's all yours. And we ask, Lord, do not forsake the work of your hands. I invite you into a few moments of reflection and prayer. Let us go to the Lord together. Lord God, as we just take these few brief moments to quiet our hearts to you, we do pause to give you thanks. To give you thanks with our whole heart. To express our gratitude to you for all that you are, for all that you've done and continue to do amongst us, for all that you've created and called us to be as your children. We give you thanks. And Lord, we just simply ask that through the ministry of your Spirit upon our lives, you will help us to respond with gratitude. And our love to you, and our love to others, in the many ways that we seek to live out our faith. Lord, help us to continue to have hearts of gratitude. Lord, raise our awareness of your presence, which you promise will be with us in the midst of all things. Because when we're aware of your presence, even in the darkest of times, Lord, we can give thanks to you because you are there and you are with us. Lord, continue to bless this time. Continue to make yourself known to us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.